Hello and welcome to the Big Happy Life podcast. I'm Natalie Britt, founder of the Big Happy Life and the BSET Behaviour Change Model, and I'm a coach, trainer and hypnotherapist, helping people who want to live in alignment with their goals in such a way that they can prioritise their wellness, show up for their kids, figure out how to manage life's tough stuff, and just generally feel a little bit more in control of thoughts, feelings and the way we show up in the world. This week's episode is inspired by the Gavin Sisters Wellness Show, which I listened to this morning on my way back from dropping my son. I've got a whole load of episodes that are ready to go out, but I'm recording this one this week and it's going to go out in a couple of days because the conversation Sharon and Loretta were having, they are the Gavin Sisters, really sparked something in me, and I think it might spark something in you too. The episode is the one with Owen Kane. It's called How to Be Your Own Therapist. I'll put a link in the show notes so that you can get access to that as well. But at the beginning of each episode, Sharon and Loretta talk about, you know, how was your week? And they were having this conversation about, you know, who would we be if our lives hadn't become dark enough? Like if we hadn't gone through enough adversity, would we have done what we've done? And they go on to talk about some of the really tough things that they've been through. Sharon's autoimmune disease, Loretta's husband leaving her when she was 6 months pregnant, Sharon leaving a toxic relationship. By this point, she was already really ill. She had to move in with Loretta. Loretta had to care for her and the two kids, both under the age of three. And they had all of this stuff going on and life was kind of falling apart around them. But out of that grew this amazing life they've created for themselves by making everyday changes to their lifestyle. So they both became vegan, they both gave up alcohol, Loretta retrained as a vegan chef, and together they started one of the UK's premier vegan retreats, the Detox Barn. They launched their first product this year, which is called Funky Coffee, and it's this amazing, gorgeous mushroom coffee, which kind of gives you a little buzz of the caffeine, but also this intense focus. It's really nice coffee, by the way. So basically, the conversation was, like, if it hadn't gotten so bad, would we have made it so good? And that really sparked something for me, because it was kind of the same for me. Like, I wasn't particularly happy, sort of bumbling along, kind of getting through life with wine and chocolate and pleasurable activities, because I was like, well, is this it? Like, this is what I worked for? You know, yay, whatever. But if things hadn't gotten worse, I'm not sure I'd have been uncomfortable enough to make any changes. And so the question I wanted to pose in this episode is, where are you? Do you listen to podcasts like this and maybe some of the other wellness podcasts and podcasts about how to take your life to the next level because you've been through adversity and now you are really engaging your energy in expanding beyond your comfort zone? Or are you in that place still where making the expansion still feels like more work than staying where you are? And so you kind of look around your life, you might not be particularly happy, not be particularly satisfied, but doing anything about it feels like more work than it's worth. And if you are in that place of just comfortable enough, but not particularly happy or satisfied, this episode is for you. Maybe a little inspiration sparker, thought provoker, mini coaching session. So let's dive in. One of my favorite stories is called The Howling Dog Story. And it's about a man, he's walking in this really, really hot, kind of arid place. There's a few houses dotted around, and he comes to this one house, and there's this older man sitting there, got a kind of cowboy hat on, long beard, and he's in a rocking chair. He's rocking back and forth, and at his feet, there's this dog, really big, old dog, long floppy ears, kind of lying there. So as the man walks past, he looks over at the man sitting on the porch, and he's like, good afternoon. The guy says, hey. And as he's walking past, the dog is going, making this like really horrible guttural groaning noise. And so the guy who's walking is like, is everything all right with your dog? And the older one goes, no, he's lying on a nail that's poking him. The other one says, well, why doesn't he move then? And the guy in the rocking chair goes, guess it's not hurting him badly enough. And I think that story is so perfect for illustrating how we live. I mean, how many things do you put up with in your life? Or maybe even moan about loudly or often, but do nothing about? How many habits do you have that really are there to try and numb out the dissatisfaction, the boredom, the questioning, or the whispers that are inside you that are like, this isn't it. Something's off. But it's easier to just pour a glass of wine and pop on Netflix and sit with a bag of Maltesers. I always use that example because that's what I did. And that, you know, that pattern stayed in for such a long time. I would either kind of accept that I felt dissatisfied and think I was dissatisfied because I hadn't achieved the next thing. So I was like, okay, well, I don't feel satisfied because I haven't got the weight loss, or I haven't got the business running the way that I wanted, or I'm not making enough money yet, or I'm not married yet, or I don't have my family yet, or whatever the next thing was. I attributed my dissatisfaction to the fact that I didn't have the thing. But then when I got all the things and everything was in place, theoretically correctly, that was when my life kind of imploded. And so the nail got so painful, I had to get up. And that kind of changed my life. You know, I've changed my business. I work now more in a life coaching capacity, working with emotions and feelings, dealing with old hurts, dealing with the limiting beliefs that keep us stuck, dealing with the things that make us stay on the nail when we could get up, often because we believe we're not capable of it, or we're scared of standing up above everybody else, or we're scared of failure. Some people are scared of success because of what it means. You know, will I lose my friends? Will people think I'm too big for my boots? All of that stuff. That's the arena that I play in now, because I didn't realize how many of my beliefs were holding me in patterns that were created for me, not by me. And that by living by them, I stayed on the nail. And freeing myself from those patterns, creating my own patterns more consciously, more intentionally, has made it possible for me to get off the nail and live a life that feels genuinely meaningful, purpose, and joyful each day. Not all day, because that's not how emotions work, but each day. The ability to experience joy, satisfaction, enjoyment, contentment, and presence in the moment. Those things exist for me every single day without fail. And those are things that only come when we cultivate them. But the practices we engage in to create those moments are the practices that require us to get off the nail in order to bring them into our lives. And so the thing I want to do with this episode is invite you to think about a couple of things in your own life. First of all, what is the nail for you? Maybe there's more than one. What is the source of the discomfort? Maybe it's coming from inside you. Maybe it's a feeling. Maybe it's a thought. Maybe you feel that it's coming from outside you. Maybe it's your job or your partner or your relationship with your kids. There'll be all kinds of different things that you could potentially be looking at here. But for each one, if it starts outside you, start there. But then ask yourself, well, what is it about that that makes me feel the way I feel? What is it inside me? What does it trigger? How do I feel? So as an example, one of the things that made my life really, really difficult after the kids came was that both my children had experienced severe trauma. And so my son didn't want to come anywhere near me, only really wanted my husband. But when my husband went to work, it was just him and I in the house. My daughter had been parenting her siblings since she was 2 years old. So she was a better parent to him than I was. We laugh about it now. She's 13. We had a conversation about it the other day, and we were talking about how hard that time was, how scary it was for her, and also how debilitating it was for me. And she was like, yeah, but Mum, you'd had no practice. I'd been practicing for 5 years by then, so I kind of knew what I was doing. And in that moment, I felt so proud of her for so many reasons. But back when she was 7 and she was parenting, that made things even worse for me because I had all these thoughts in my head about, as a therapeutic parent, one of the things that you must do for a child who feels that they have to parent their siblings is help them go back to being a child, to release them from the responsibility of parenting their younger siblings because now they have a parent. But in our case, he didn't want me and he wanted her. So I was like, I don't know what to do. So that would be an external example, but what I then had to start doing in order to get off the nail was figure out what was making that situation disconnect me from the part of me that could work her way through that. The part of me that's resourceful, that can manage stress, that can rise and grow, learn the skills, accept what's happening, understand that this is a trauma response, it's a normal response for children in this situation, and everything is going to be okay. I just need to stay on the road and learn and grow and show up with intention. But in those situations, when we are triggered, something causes us to not access that part of ourselves, and instead we kind of shut down. What makes that happen? And that's really what you're looking for, is if something outside you is the source of your stress or dissatisfaction, what is causing the stress or dissatisfaction in you, and what is making you not able to access the resourcefulness inside yourself? Maybe you don't believe there's resourcefulness there, or maybe you are kind of giving away your power to the other person to be like, well, you know, in my case, I was giving the power to my son. I was like, well, he's not accepting me, so there's nothing I can do here. But I had to, in order to get off the nail, start looking at like, okay, this is a long haul project. It's not going to happen overnight. I have to figure out why I'm so triggered, and I need to figure out how to get resourceful in the moment when I am triggered so that I can still keep showing up time and time again as he begins to learn to connect and trust me. And when I started doing that work, the thing that I found underneath all of that was actually a feeling of powerlessness, a really old, stuck in my system feeling of powerlessness, because even as a little kid, there was a lot that I couldn't control. I was an only child, so I was pretty much always surrounded by adults except when we were with other families. And there was always somebody who had the decision, who always got to make the choice on my behalf or got to override a decision that I wanted. So that's not to say, of course, I got my own way a hell of a lot of the time, and it in fact was often called spoiled. But the feeling that lodged in me energetically so that it could stay in there and be triggered by present day experiences was this feeling of powerlessness. So what happens when you get these kinds of triggers that lodge in you, these old triggers, what you'll find, and if you're a parent, you'll know this, there are times when you behave like a petulant kid. The reason that's happening is because what you've got is an old trigger that was installed when you were much, much younger. And when it gets fired, you react in much the same way physiologically and psychologically as you would have when the trigger was first installed. And that's often why we become the worst versions of ourselves. Even as adults, we can behave in what we'd refer to as childish or petulant ways. And that's just because the emotion is old and it's stuck in there. We won't go into the detail of, you know, how that happens and the energy behind it and all the rest of it. The thing to take from this is that whatever you are attributing your dissatisfaction to outside yourself is still triggering something inside you. And it's the inside you question that you want to get to. Once you start uncovering that, then you can begin to figure out what kinds of things you need to cultivate in yourself in order to engage in your life the way you want. Maybe that means you change nothing about your external world, but you change how you interact with your external world. That was my case. I didn't want a different life. I didn't want a different house or a better house or a different husband or different kids or a different body. I wanted to live the life I had in a way that felt good to me. So if that's you too, then the work is inner work. And that's where to focus your attention. If you need help with that, I have a variety of programs available that could help you. And you can reach out to me, natalie@bighappylife.co.uk, or visit my website, bighappylife.co.uk. And if there are things you are looking to change in your life, start by asking yourself how you'll feel as a result of the change. What is the change meant to bring to you that you can't get right now? And then start thinking about, okay, well, how do I cultivate that feeling now before I make the change? And the reason that we do that is because aligning with that feeling and creating it within yourself helps you access the part of you that's more resourceful. It helps you feel strong enough to get off the nail. And it also helps you to identify the right path to get you to the change that you want. Because what a lot of us do is we make ourselves miserable in our pursuit of things we think are going to make us happy. We half break ourselves in the process. And what that does is it establishes habits that really take us in the opposite direction to where we're trying to get to by making the external change. So, for example, if you are thinking, well, I'll only be confident once I've lost the weight, you kind of develop the habit of looking at yourself critically, judging yourself, feeling bad about yourself, and seeking evidence that you are not attractive the way you currently look. So yes, you may continue to lose the weight, but habitually you are learning to put your self-acceptance on an external condition. And so even if you do reach the goal weight, the likelihood is habitually, because every single day you've looked in the mirror and it's been conditional as to whether you accept what you see or you don't, you will find something else that you're not satisfied with. So you lose the weight, but now you don't like your hair, or you don't like your eyebrows, or you don't like what your shoulders look like, or some other thing becomes the thing. And it's because the habit that you've cultivated is one of self-criticism every time you look in the mirror. So if we say what I want by losing the weight is confidence, then the thing that you start doing is figuring out, well, how do I create in myself confidence starting today? Then you can decide, maybe do you still want to lose the weight, or are you happy the weight you are? In which case, build the confidence, leave the weight alone. But if you think, actually, I am confident now, but I would like to just feel more comfortable in my body, feel more comfortable in my clothes, then you start working towards losing the weight, but you do so with confidence because you've already cultivated confidence and the habits of thinking and feeling like a confident person. So the getting off the nail, just like the living the life we tell our kids is possible, is the cultivation of internal habits that allow us to show up intentionally in our external world. And for many of us, we don't get there. We don't get to the point of making the internal work worth doing unless we arrive at a point where it gets so bad, so dark, and so untenable that we have no choice but to go inside. So I leave you with the question of, would you rather wait for things to get worse, or would you rather start today and build the life that feels good as you live it? I'd love to know your thoughts. I'd love to know what you decide. You can comment on the show notes page. You can reach out to me, natalie@bighappylife.co.uk. You can also find me on social media. On LinkedIn and Facebook, you'll find me by my name, Natalie Britt. And on Instagram, you'll find me at big_happylife. I'd love to connect with you. I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do leave a review, share it with people who might be interested, and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss the episodes as they come out. For now, though, that's it for me. Thank you for listening.